Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you, hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper, and fandom mod.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea, to a land across the sea.
With the sixth episode, we're venturing into manga and anime territory, an area I'm pretty much completely clueless about. The lovely Mellow Doodles introduces me to Boku no Hero Academia and the ship of Bagoku Katsuki and Midoriya Izuku, whose names I'm sure to butcher a few more times during this podcast, for which I'm truly sorry. But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship, and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spurk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the second case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together, in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. This podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fanworks might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about the OTP that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Podcast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net, that's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at ShippingCast, a Twitter at Shipping_cast, or you can email me on the shippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. Because I've had to start paying for pro accounts for the podcast, I've set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast. In addition to the Ko-fi and PayPal links that you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38 as of January 5th, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom 18 years ago, which was also when I started writing in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you are wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies, and German Literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and podcasts. I also have something of a cold, as I'm sure you could tell. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding and gifing, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about what they're passionate about, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip it. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so consider yourself warned. If possible, I knew even less about Boku no Hero Academia than about DC from last episode. But luckily, Mel is more than happy to do a very deep dive, not only into the Bakudeku ship, but also into these two very different characters and how the relationship has been growing and changing ever since the start and how it might develop as the manga and anime continue. We touch a bit on the controversy the ship has met, especially in Western fandom, but mostly the interview focuses on the many things Mel loves about Midoriya Izuku and Bagoku Katsuki, including some of the amazing fanworks created for it.
I too good to rip on a great big ship to a land across the sea.
To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Hi, Mel.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Yeah, me too, me too. You're doing this without knowing me, which is very nice of you. And you're also going to introduce me to a manga anime fandom, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yes, because I don't know anything. just assume I don't know anything. But before we go into that, would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Melanie, or Mel. My screen name online through like Twitter or Tumblr are Melodoodles. And I'm from America, specifically in the state of Arizona. I'm 24 years old, and I mostly just do fandom stuff on the side when I'm not working for my company that I've been working for about 2 years. I plan on leaving them soon, though, so that's probably going to change shortly.
Okay, so you're about to make a move.
Yeah, basically. I'm working on getting out of the company to go work somewhere else.
Yeah. Okay. So you were nominated. How do you know her?
Confused. I believe her name is Allie in real life.
Yes.
She is a follower of mine on Tumblr. I think we're mutuals on Twitter now, but we have been kind of conversing for about a year now. She's been following me since I was in the Haikyuu fandom, which is a volleyball anime. And every time I have my lower points on fandom stuff or whatever, when I'm not feeling good about myself, she will comment and say, "Hey, you can do this, you're great," or, "Hey, take breaks, it's okay, no one's gonna hate you for it," and stuff like that. And she's just super supportive and nice, and it's always been a wonderful time, like, anytime I do talk to her, and whenever she likes something, it's like, I know her.
Lovely. So, you met in an anime fandom?
Correct.
But this, the one that we're talking about today is a different one, right?
Correct, yeah, it's a different anime, something I got into during the time that she's known me on mine.
Yeah. So have you always been into anime, or were there any other fandoms that you were active in?
I've always been into anime. I mean, I've liked other fandoms as well. Really, as long as I enjoy the content of the story that I'm into, I will be a part of that fandom, even just on the side. But whenever I'm into something and actually creating content for it, it's typically anime.
Okay. So was that your very first active fandom as well?
I would say so, yeah. I think Naruto was my first anime active fandom. I mean, technically Kids Next Door, which was a cartoon from my childhood, was my first active fandom. But I would say Naruto for sure, because that was the first one that I actually had, like, content online that people were responding to.
Okay, so you get active yourself, you create stuff. If you get into a fandom. And are you usually like an OTP type person, or do you multi-ship?
I am an OTP type person, but I do have other ships that I enjoy within whatever fandom I've joined. With My Hero Academia, the one we're going to talk about today, I'm definitely OTP with Bakudeku, but I have a couple of side pairings that I also like to throw in. So if I like write a story, there will be side pairings that you will notice in any of my stories that are always going to be there.
Yes, okay. But is it usually one fandom that you're mostly involved in, or do you move from one to the other, or are you in several at once?
I usually stick to one fandom if I am into multiple fandoms at once. Like, currently I actually have a story for Haikyuu that I've been working on for over a year, while also writing stuff for My Hero Academia, so I've done a couple of different things, but typically, if I'm in one fandom, I don't really leave it to go do other stuff in the other fandom.
Okay. So, having said all that,
Tell me about My Hero Academia, because, like I said, I don't know anything.
So the story follows Izuku Midoriya throughout his, like, training to become a pro hero one day. It's set in a world where people have what's called quirks, which is basically superpowers. 80% of the population has a quirk, 20% is quirkless. Izuku actually fell into the 20% of the population where he does not have a quirk. But he meets his all-time favorite pro hero when he was in middle school and is deemed worthy to become a hero by All Might, the hero he admired his entire life. And All Might offers to give him his power so that Izuku can inherit it and begin the process of becoming a pro hero under All Might's tutelage. And
so that's something that you can pass on. It's not like genetic.
No, they are genetic. So All Might is a rare case. It's actually a huge secret, and Izuku can't tell anyone about the whole situation because if everyone found out that All Might could pass on his power, there would be like chaos in the world because he's basically the symbol of peace.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so quirks are genetic. People are born with them, and if they don't have them, there's no chance they'll ever get one. So Izuku being quirkless for 14 years of his life and then suddenly having a quirk was shocking, especially to Bakugo, the other person on this pairing, who had known Izuku his whole life. They were childhood friends since 4 years old. Complicated relationship there, but we'll get more into that later.
Okay. Yeah, since I'm not really familiar with Japanese fandoms, I'm actually not even quite sure. I'm sure I'm going to mispronounce the names horribly, and
that's
I apologize. Yeah. And also, I'm not even quite sure, you know, I know that in Japanese, you usually put the last name and then the first name.
Yeah, family names,
Yeah, but I've been a bit confused because, like, on some, you know, when doing a quick Google, on some sites it said Izuku was first, and in others it was last, and I was like, which is the Japanese way? Which is the Western way? Which is his actual first name?
Yes, so his name in Japanese is Midoriya Izuku. So in English or Western, it's Izuku Midoriya. So his given name Izuku. Is Izuku, and his family name is Midoriya.
Okay, and the other half of the pairing is
Katsuki Bakugo.
Bakugo is his first name.
Bakugo is his family name. So
family
actually,
name. Oh,
Japanese,
okay.
He would be Bakugo Katsuki, and in Western, it would be Katsuki Bakugo.
Okay.
Sorry.
Right. Now I think I've got it.
It can get a little confusing if you aren't actively involved into it, for sure, especially because I know on like the Wikipedia for My Hero Academia, it only states everything in like the Western version, but then in like quotation or like parentheses, they'll say in Japanese it's this way, and it's like, okay, well, that can get a little confusing if you have no idea what they mean by that.
And it really helps me to hear you pronounce them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Japanese names are sometimes confusing. There's some names I actually have a hard time pronouncing every now and then, but they're mostly minor characters whose names I can't pronounce.
Yeah, and like I told Ali last time, it was, for me, it's also difficult because, you know, English isn't my first language.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, usually if I, you know, I've been to Japan and, you know, then I, you know, I go from German to Japanese, like, you know, pronouncing names and stuff.
Right.
But now I'm going from English to German to Japanese. I can't go from English straight to Japanese. That's difficult.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely really difficult. And honestly, I'm not bilingual, so I don't really know that whole setup of it, but language has always interested me. When I was in college, mm-hmm. I minored in language, literature, and writing, so taking a linguistics course was mind-blowing to learn all these different things. So for sure, learning multiple languages and having to go back and forth between everything just to make sure you understand what's being said is admirable on so many levels.
So do you watch the anime in Japanese with subtitles, or is it available in English?
It's in English too. I prefer it in Japanese, but I have also gone back and rewatched it in English. The voice actors for the English version have done pretty great so far, in my opinion. Some people don't like English dub, but I'm fine with the English dub. I prefer Japanese for sure, though.
So from the title of the show, Academia, I assume that it's something that they have to go to school?
Yes. So being that it's a world filled with people who have quirks, there's going to be some people who will use their quirks for ill reasons. So they are like villains, and that resulted in things for people coming up to becoming heroes, and that had to get regulated so that there was some type of structure to their world. So heroes are from the government, and so if you want to be a hero, you have to go to hero school. So they go to UA Academy, the top hero academy in Japan.
Okay. And that's where they meet?
For Bakugo and Midoriya, no. They actually met when they were like 4 years old because they're neighbors. They live in the same neighborhood, but they grew up together. They both wanted to be heroes their entire lives. They were childhood friends. Had a falling out because of Bakugo having some minor issues with his own self-esteem, but that's more of a issue that we could discuss later on when I go into different issues on the coupling in general.
Okay. So he knew that Izuku is quirkless.
Correct, yeah. So yeah. When they got into UA together, Bakugo didn't really understand how Midoriya could have done it, because he's like, what? No, he's quirkless. He can't do this. He's not a hero material. Why the hell is he here? And then Midoriya shows off his quirk, new quirk that he got from All Might, and Bakugo's left standing there going, what the hell is happening?
And the show is, do they have to, I don't know, defeat villains, or what's the show about?
Yeah, so the show itself starts off with Midoriya being in middle school, quirkless, not knowing what to, like, how he can become a hero, but really wanting to become one, meeting All Might, and All Might introducing him to the his quirk information and giving him the quirk. And once he goes to UA, things really start to get crazy, because All Might, being the symbol of peace and now a teacher at UA, people are targeting them, especially on the villain side. And it turns out a whole group of villains are building up to try and defeat All Might and take him down. So the school and his classmates are all being targeted because they're close to All Might, especially himself, because even though him and All Might are trying to keep it a secret, it's very clear that All Might has favoritism towards Midoriya.
Yeah, understandable, if you know, considering he's given him his power.
Oh, yeah. Nobody knows it, though, so nobody can know.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in the very beginning of them being at the hero school and taking their hero classes, like the courses for it, there was a training session where Midoriya and Bakugo faced off against each other and got into a huge argument about the whole situation. And Midoriya felt terrible afterwards, because he figured, oh, now he thinks I've been lying to him his entire life. Like, no, I can't let him not be aware of this. So Midoriya goes after Bakugo and tells him, hey, no, I didn't lie to you. I have been quirkless our whole life. It's just recently I'm borrowing somebody's quirk, but I can't tell you anything else about it because it's a secret. And it's like, why would you do that? You're not supposed to tell anyone. Why did you tell Bakugo?
Well, I'm guessing that might play into why you ship them?
Yes, definitely. I mean, their relationship, just in canon in general, Midoriya had always admired and looked up to Bakugo their entire life. He was a confident, strong, smart individual. In their childhood, he was the leader of their gang of little childhood friends. And Bakugo has an extremely powerful quirk. His quirk is sweat within his palms that can explode. So he's got nitroglycerin within his sweat. So extremely powerful quirk, and definitely going to become a hero. And super confident in himself, Midoriya looked up to him, thought, this guy is amazing, I want to be like him, I want to be close to him. But because of an inferiority complex that Bakugo had when they were like 4, he decided that he didn't want to be friends with Deku, or Izuku anymore. Deku is the nickname he gave to Izuku, because Izuku can also be read as Deku, which means worthless or like useless. Okay. So he started picking on him and bullying him, and Izuku, on the other hand, was like, but I still want to be close to you and I still look up to you, and basically you're my image of victory. So he followed Bakugo for the like 10 years of like him being bullied, but Midoriya was never really like upset or put off by it in a way that was that of a victim, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Like somebody who didn't feel good about himself. He still wanted to be a hero. He still looked up to Bakugo and considered him to be close, even though Bakugo pushed him away and called him useless and a quirkless loser and all those random things.
Okay, so it's more, that's an interesting dynamic. Yeah. Like from one side it's antagonistic and from the other side it's not.
For sure, yeah. And one of the main reasons some part of the fandom doesn't like Bakugo and Midoriya together is because right in episode 1, they're in middle school, Bakugo is telling Midoriya, no, you can't become a hero because you're quirkless and a loser, and no one wants a quirkless loser being like a hero or whatever. And Izuku's like, no, I can still try. I can definitely try to become a hero. There's no reason I can't or whatever. And Bakugo's like, well, there might be hope for you still. If you want to get a quirk, you can go take a swan dive off the roof. And so a lot of people were very upset about that because he told him to kill himself, which is a serious thing to do. And there's no excuse for it. Bakugo is an asshole right at the beginning, and it's very clear to everyone that that's how he's supposed to be played off. But Midoriya's reaction wasn't that of somebody who was a victim. Instead, he was just like thinking to himself, why would you say that to me? You're going to get in trouble if anyone finds out. He wasn't like thinking of himself. He was still thinking of Bakugo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, did you ship them right from the start?
Yeah, I have a huge love for childhood friendships. So when I realized they were childhood friends, I was like, oh no, I ship them. Because seeing as Bakugo was this asshole, I was like, I don't like this guy. But then I realized they were childhood friends. Midoriya just kept thinking about Bakugo. Mm-hmm. And it was like, why do you care about him? He's a bully. And in episode 2, he like runs in to save Bakugo from a villain despite being quirkless, and that's the whole reason that All Might decides that Izuku's worthy of becoming a hero. He was the only one willing to go and save this kid who was held hostage. And it was just like, okay, he really, really cares about Bakugo. There's something going on here. It's much deeper than what we've been shown so far in the series. So I definitely ship them from like season or episode 2.
Okay, so does their relationship grow and change?
Oh yeah, definitely. It gets a lot better over time. In the current manga arc, they're actually talking to each other in a more civilized manner, and hyping each other up by being each other's rivals, basically, and trying to encourage each other to do better as heroes. But in their own special way, where Bakugo's still kind of a dick, but he's less of a mean person about it. If there's any way to put that in a nice way.
Okay. So it's a manga as well as an anime.
Correct. Yeah, it started off as a manga, and it has been turned into an anime. And because it became an anime, it blew up with media, and everyone is really into it. A lot of people are finding it as their first anime, which makes sense. I mean, the other big time animes are all over or getting sequels like Naruto or whatever. But My Hero Academia is a pretty good first anime, in my opinion. I mean, it's not my first, but if it was my first, it's definitely a good introduction to shonen anime.
So, shonen anime.
Shonen is like anime that's supposed to be directed to boys because of the action, the fighting. Like, I don't know if you know big name animes just by the name of them, like Dragon Ball Z isn't a shonen anime, Naruto, okay. Yes. Anything that's big, fighty, not really heavy on romance, it's about men just beating the crap out of each other, most likely a shonen anime. Okay.
What's Shonen Ai?
Shonen Ai is boys' love, so that's specifically for...
That's why I was confused.
Yeah. Shonen is shonen means boy, so or young man, so it's for boys, but I means love. So if you say shonen I, it's boys love.
Yeah, because I heard that before. And then I see, you know, it's like but it's not actually like a gay love story in that one, right?
Right, yeah. No, shonen is not a gay love story. Typically shonen anime, you would not see anything happen between two male characters. Unless it's a progressive anime and they're trying to get, like, beyond the stereotypes. But it's still Japan and they are still conservative. So these types of shows, especially on mainstream television, aren't going to have anything like that. So while I do ship Bakudeku, they most likely will not end up together.
Well, but when has that ever stopped us?
Right, exactly. And besides, I honestly think they'll just be a hero duo together because that's kind of the direction they're going in. Mm-hmm. Being that they both admire All Might, Midoriya is the I want to save everyone side of All Might, and Bakugo is the I want to win in every fight side of All Might. So they are the two sides of All Might. Yin and Yang, literally complements of one another, and they're going to be a hero duo that's kind of been the build up this whole story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Do you have, like, favorite canon moments?
The Deku versus Ka-chan part 2 fight was probably my favorite part of the entire series so far. Not because it's a moment of their breakthrough, of them actually realizing that they've been miscommunicating their entire lives, but their fight itself was amazingly drawn in the manga and then translated beautifully in the anime. The fight scene was gorgeous watching it, and I was just, like, speechless the whole time. So it has amazing animation in that part. But their conversation, them talking to each other and finding out that Bakugo thought Midoriya was looking down on him this whole time, and that's the only reason he had, like, this inferiority complex, thinking that Deku was, like, basically going, ha, I'm better than you, I have more hero qualities than you, and that's why I'm going to become a hero despite being quirkless. And now I have an awesome, powerful quirk that the most amazing hero ever gave to me because he helped me worthy of the quirk. Like, all these things built up into one setting. Yeah, Bakugo had a huge inferiority complex, and that's the only reason he hated Deku. He didn't actually hate him in, oh, I'm just a malicious person. No, he felt like as if he couldn't compare to him. Whereas Deku was, like, thinking this whole time that Bakugo was just a cruel person, but knew deep down that he's a good guy, he's going to be an amazing hero, all these random things, but couldn't understand what he did, just knew that he was annoying to Bakugo. And after learning the truth, he's like, what are you talking about? I don't look down on you. I think you're the most amazing person ever, and I consider you to be, like, my image of victory. And it's like, okay, they finally figured it out with their fists.
With their fists, okay. So that would be a pretty great turning point.
Oh yeah, it was a huge breakthrough for their relationship and just a wonderful moment all around. But since then, every time they do talk to each other, it's been great because they are relearning how to have their friendship go through again, instead of being, I guess, antagonistic towards one another. They're going to just be around one another and actually give each other tips or talk to each other or play fight with one another by going, oh yeah, well, I'm better than you and I'm gonna win.
Okay, yeah, so it's there's not, like, any bitterness between them.
Correct, yeah, like, they're getting to a point now where it's clear that their rivalry is not a hostile one, it's more, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to build you up to be the great hero that I know you can be. And the other end of it is they're becoming friends again, and other people are acknowledging it. One of the most recent chapters, All Might came up to Midoriya and was like, "Ah, you have a very good friend in Bakugo." Like, yeah, they're friends. He confirmed it. But you'll still have people who hate the ship and think it's abusive and all these things that are going, no, All Might's wrong, and he's just being toxic to both of them by saying that they're friends. And it's like, what? What?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's called character growth, isn't it?
Yeah, it is amazing growth. These characters have come a long way, and I don't know how people are still sitting here going, but in episode one, he told him to kill himself.
Yes, I don't know. Sometimes people seem to be unable to move on from, like, the first impression.
Yeah. The very first impression of Bakugo was not that great, but the creator himself was like, originally, he was a really nice guy, super supportive of Izuku, and was just unintentionally rude to others and just too straightforward for people to like him, but found that too boring, so he's like, I'm just gonna make him into a complete asshole. So he went as far as he possibly could, and that kind of backfired. But he's also the most popular character in the show. There's been like 4 popularity polls, and he came in first for 3 of them.
Oh, okay. So I'm guessing that the pairing is quite popular?
In Japan, it definitely is. In Western fandom, it's still extremely popular, but because of the Western fandom being so against abuse things and constantly talking about, like, social justice rights and all those different things, the people
purity
who... purity culture, for sure, is definitely very toxic when you get to the fandom stuff, because people start saying, no, you can't ship these two people together. He told him to kill himself, and the other was a victim. But Midoriya was not a victim. He didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't as if he was, like, taking a vulnerable person and giving him a push.
Yeah, he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, okay, he did something absolutely terrible, but he was being an asshole, but he didn't do something that was going to hurt Midoriya. Midoriya was already totally fine outside of being in his classroom among a bunch of peers that basically laughed at anything he ever said. And that's not just Bakugo. Literally everyone in his school laughed at him. He was still totally fine, still writing in his notebooks about becoming a hero and telling strangers, yeah, I'm going to become a hero. He was totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. People get upset and they'll go off on rants and they'll attack others and everything just for a fictional ship. That's not even going to be canon.
No, I don't get it. I'm a big fan of ship and let ship and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fandom. It's just... Just in our heads.
Yeah.
We're just imagining it. It's not, they're not real people.
Exactly. And it's not that deep. People can calm down and just stop worrying so much about it, because I'm going to like something that other people are going to hate. Yeah. And that's totally normal. I came to terms with that when I was in high school and all the people that I was friends with were like, you like anime?
I don't know. I mean, everyone's entitled not to like stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no need to harsh other people's squee.
Yeah. And also, like, I remember when I first started doing fandom things when I was, like, in 8th grade, so 2008 or something, I basically went online and people would go, that's my no TP, or no, I don't like that ship. Like, I don't think they had OTP back then, but...
yes, we did.
I don't remember. I can't remember when OTP became a thing, because I do remember when people started saying smut instead of lemon and lime, but I don't remember when OTP started, like, becoming a real big thing in fandom. I don't remember. I'm not that old, but I feel old.
Well, I've been in online fandom since the year 2001.
Woo! Okay, so. You definitely know for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I was quite old compared to, like, you know, you.
Yeah.
When I joined online fandom. But then, you know, steady internet, private internet access. What was not really common in the 90s.
Right, yeah. And, I mean, I got online fandoms in, like, 2005, but I didn't actively join until, like, maybe 2007, 2008.
I joined the moment I found it. It's like, yeah, you know, because, you know, when I was a teenager, I'd be sitting in my dad's office using his computer.
Yeah, I would sit on my family computer in the living room and just, like, read fan fiction. And my sister liked one of the animes I was into and found out I had, like, stories, and she thought it was real. But I was like, no, these are written by fans.
You know, I just wrote for myself, and then I got, for university, I got my own laptop.
Ooh, that's great, yeah.
And, yeah, which gave me the freedom to, you know, start looking up stuff online.
Definitely, yeah. My dad got me a computer when I was in sixth grade, and that helped a lot, too, instead of, like, just being on the family computer, but being on my own computer, looking up stuff, writing stuff, sharing things, it really helped with my personal growth, I think, because it helped me learn things about different cultures and other, like, people, and just an idea of what growing up would be like, because I was not a social person. I don't want to talk to people. I'm going to talk to people online because I don't have to speak to them.
Yeah, on online fandom, I mean, to me, it always was this really positive place.
Exactly, and focus on your own ship and be happy.
Yeah. There's, I'm assuming, yeah, you said it's still quite a big pairing, so there's probably lots of content to make you happy.
Oh yeah, definitely. And in the last, year that I joined the fandom, I also joined a network called the Bakudeku Positivity Network. And it's literally just a group of people spreading positive feelings about Bakudeku and creating events where we just have, like, week-long prompts of every day something new is drawn or written about the pairing. And we did that right before the airing of Deku versus Ka-chan Part 2. So that was a lot of fun. And then last week, there was people starting a hashtag on Twitter for the Bakudeku content creator appreciation. So they just, like, started adding each other, saying, "You're amazing," and "You're amazing," and "You great."
Oh, that's
great.
Nice.
It was so great. It was like, this is wonderful. I'm glad I'm part of this fandom.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Is it mostly like fan fiction or fan art?
Both. Mostly fan art is what I focus on sometimes because I don't have a lot of time to sit down and read. But there's also a lot of fan fiction out there, and I'm trying to read it. I have, like, a list of things I need to read. But I mean, I do both personally. I both write and draw.
Okay.
Yeah, And I actually was working on a piece this morning and posted that, but I don't remember when it was last looked at or anything, but I keep getting notifications today about people following me, so it's like, I guess that blew up, because now people are just following me.
Nice. Isn't it? It's nice to know that people like your stuff, isn't it?
It's very nice. It's extremely encouraging, and it makes me feel fuzzy inside, and I want people to like my stuff. I want people to like me so I can talk to them about my ship.
That's very relatable. What type of fanworks are, like, most popular? Is it, like, canon-based or AUs? Or?
It's kind of a mixture of both. I mostly like AU, personally, because it's more fun to think of, like, alternate versions of these characters. And also, I'm a huge sucker for, like, those soulmate type of things, and reading them in alternate universes is kind of like saying, no matter what universe they're in, they're always going to be together.
Yeah. Also relatable.
But definitely a mixture of both. I personally mostly write AU, but I have one story that I started a while back but never continued because I just didn't have the time. But that's supposed to be future canon based, where they're pro heroes and they're the Wonder Duo together, and their story progresses to where a villain created a child from their DNA, and they get him arrested, they have to start raising her, so it's basically just a family fluff story, but I haven't actually gotten to the part where they find the child, so, spoiler there, but whatever. It kind of already says in the tags of the story that it's a family story, and they're gonna have a daughter, so.
Yeah. So is the canon still ongoing right now?
It's still going. The last chapter came out right before the new year, and what happened there was pretty scary because Izuku's like not able to control the quirk he got from All Might, which it's called One for All. I don't know if I mentioned that before or not. I don't think
I did. Haven't.
Sorry about that. But yeah, he can't quite control One for All at 100%, so he has to do it in small increments. But in the middle of his training with the other hero course, he actually loses control of the quirk and it starts like attacking him, and he is like in pain, and it's like, why did you just end the chapter there?
Oh, is he okay?
Yeah. I mean, I think he might have been saved, but he also fell into like this trance, and now he's talking to one of the previous holders of One for All, and it's like, what is happening? I need to know what happens next. So hopefully that comes out soon.
Yeah, definitely.
And season 4 has been confirmed for October of next year, or this year, actually.
Do they tell a different story from the manga, or...?
No, I mean, it follows the manga pretty closely. They occasionally will have what's called OVAs, or omake things, where they go into, like, side things. The movie that came out last year was a story that happened between, like, I think season 2 and 3, but it didn't happen in the manga. However, the creator did have some say on what happened in that story, so it kind of technically is canon. So the movie is not the same as the manga, but it has some canon moments to it, I guess.
Okay, so that's quite, yeah, I mean, that's quite a lot of material to draw from.
Yeah, and I guess there's now a stage play about to come out, so there will be live actors playing the characters, and I've seen their pictures so far. They're adorable, and I personally am a huge Bakugo stan, so, like, the actor playing him is super attractive, and I'm like, yes!
So is that in Japan?
Yeah, that's in Japan. They do a lot of, if an anime blows up and is like amazingly popular, they'll do a stage play, which basically just retells the entire story, but as a live action stage play performance. And being that I was in the volleyball anime before, Haikyuu had a lot of stage plays because it's a very long story currently. And so the stage play itself was a lot of fun to watch, the first one at least that I got to see. Because there was somebody actually went out there and subtitled it for anyone who can't speak Japanese, and that was nice. I liked that, and my favorite characters in that anime had some pretty attractive stage play actors. That was nice. Getting to see them in real life is just really cool, and some people were kind of worried about, like, the idea of My Hero Academia being translated into a live-action type of thing, and so far it's looked pretty good from the images I've seen, but I also heard there's, like, a live-action movie they're thinking of making, and it's like, ooh, hopefully that doesn't turn out bad.
Well, at least I guess in a stage play they would have problems because of the special effects and stuff.
Probably, yeah. I could imagine that. Especially because in the story, because Midoriya can't really control One for All that well, if he loses control of it, it does break his arms, and he's broken his arm like 5 times.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got scars all over his arm from it. It's scary. The first time I watched it, I was like, what is happening? His arm is literally like flopping around because he's falling from the sky. What happened? And then I realized his entire arm was broken. But luckily, people have quirks that also heal, and so there's somebody who healed him back to normal.
Okay.
But still, it's very scary, and he's done it so many times now that if he does it too badly to his arms again one more time, he may not be able to use his right arm again.
Oh.
So he has to start using a different style of fighting, and he's moved on to using his legs, which is a joke in the fandom now, where everyone's like, do y'all remember when Izuku went, oh, I have legs?
So it does get quite dark.
It is very dark sometimes, definitely. Yeah. Anime can get pretty dark a lot of time. Like, it can be a happy-go-lucky show, and then one next second it's, like, very dark and brutal, and it's like, what just happened? But for My Hero Academia, it got pretty dark in some parts of it, but then they're all teenagers, and it's like, they just go right back to, oh, we're at school, and everything is normal. And it's like, no. No, it's not. It would be nice to see the trauma in the characters at some parts, mm-hmm. but then when they do have the trauma showing, it's like, oh, no, my poor child.
Yeah. Yeah, especially because they're so young, right?
Oh, yeah, they're 15, 16 years old. I think Bakugo's the oldest in his class, because in Japan, school starts in April and ends in, like, March. So Bakugo's birthday is in April, making him the oldest, and Midoriya is in July? I can't remember his date of birth suddenly. Pretty sure it's July. But they're both at least 16 now, because the story is currently in, like, November.
So do you think the anime and the manga will continue until they, like, graduate? Or
Yeah, the creator has stated that he's already completely planned out the series, but he thinks it might end up being longer than he initially anticipated, so he's got a lot of, like, plans for it, and he knows what's going to happen in the end, so he's got things that he's hinting towards and everything, and it's clear to a lot of people where some of it's heading, and then other people are, like, making theories about this character and that character, and what does this mean, and it's got so much going on into it, and things that are like, okay, but what's the answer to this? Because, like, there's this theory of certain characters in his class being the traitor because there's somebody telling the villains where the student class of the hero course is going to be whenever they go to do something at all. And it's like, okay, how do they keep finding out where we're going? There must be a traitor. Who's the traitor? I hope it's not Kaminari because he's adorable. Completely different side character, but he's like one of the most popular for the traitor theory, and it's like, no, not him.
But so you might get your dynamic duo eventually.
Most likely, yeah. I mean, the way it's being set up, it's like, okay, they're probably going to be a duo, but they also might not be, but at the same time, the way it's currently heading, they're definitely at least going to be friends again. In a healthy way, and people who are saying, no, it's not possible, go away.
Well, I guess only time will tell.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really looking forward to it.
And I mean, if you don't like canon, you always have fan fiction.
Exactly. Like, there's some shows that ended that I hated how they ended, and I'm like, well, I'm just going to read fan fiction because that's the version I like.
Yes, which would bring us quite smoothly to your fan fiction recommendations.
Yeah, let me pull up that list so I can look at them too. Alright. So I recommended quite a few different stories. Some of them I haven't personally read yet. But one of them, I was actually reading it right before I put it on the list here. It's Izuku's Home for Wayward Pets by Glamour Weave. That story is a hybrid story. So it's an alternate universe where people are hybrids, where they're human and animal. For Izuku, he himself is not a hybrid. He's a regular human. But he works for, like, the Bureau of Investigation of different things, and he basically is part of the division that goes and finds any companions, which is what the hybrid people are called, that are being abused and getting them out of the bad situation. And he was part of the group that found Bakugo, who was a companion wolf breed that was in an underground fight thing. And Izuku helps bring him out of that situation and eventually starts to foster him as his own companion, because Bakugo needs more assistance with coming out of that situation and growing. And I can't quite think of the word for what it is, but he just really needs a safe place to heal from his bad experience. And that story is emotional. It's great. It's still ongoing, but every time it updates, I'm like super happy and like, yes, Wolf Bakugo is adorable.
So it's still being updated.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, great. Because, you know, nothing is worse than getting really invested and then suddenly the updates stop.
Yeah. It makes me feel bad about my own stories that are still ongoing. I'm like writing 5 stories right now. But they're all ongoing, I promise.
Yeah, I've got a couple of those as well.
The next one is the Devil Ship Zeku. So that's a future canon base story. And that one is also ongoing. I don't remember when it was last updated, but I do know the creator is still working on it and still talks about it every now and then. So I know it's not done. It's not going to be just canceled or whatever. But the story is about Izuku finding out about fandom in his own world. But the fandom, instead of focusing on fictional things, focus on heroes, because heroes are the big shots. And the people ship Ground Zero with Deku, Ground Zero being the fandom's name for Bakugo's hero name, because his canon hero name has not been confirmed yet. So everyone calls him Ground Zero, and then Deku is his hero name, so it's Zeku is what the shippers call them, and Izuku has a giant crush on Bakugo in this story, so when he found out that people ship them, he's like, they're supportive! And, like, reading it is literally just going, same mood, I'm with you, Izuku, that's totally how I feel. It's so funny, and it's also,
I love meta stuff like that.
I love those types of stories, and it's also slow burn, so every now and then when him and Bakugo are talking, it's like, just kiss already!
Yeah, so it's a perfect pick-me-up fic.
For sure, yeah. And then the next one I have that says, a story that will get you hooked is Vicious by Feels Like Fire. So, let's see here. Need to read through this again, because I've recommended so many, I don't remember which ones are which now. Hang on. So that's the one where it's also canon-based, but they're in the future. Again, pro-heroes, and they're forced to become a hero duo together, but it's also resulting in them becoming closer to one another. And then it turns into a relationship that basically is contractual, so they enter into a BDSM relationship with each other.
Ooh, okay.
Then they get put onto this mission where they have to pretend they're married, so they enter into a fake relationship as well.
Pretend marriage!
Yeah, it was hilarious. And I personally have not been able to finish it just yet, but there's the main antagonist that was created for the story. People in, like, Discord group chats that were talking about it as it was updating were always go, fuck the Laszlos! Oh, nobody likes them! And all this stuff. Like, they just hated them. And everyone would go, just remember, nobody likes the Laszlos. And I'm like, yes, I remember that, but I haven't finished it yet.
So that's the one that I should check out if I want to get a feel for the ship.
Sure, yeah. I mean, that's a good one to definitely read and everything, because it also is very heavy on the smut, so just be forewarned for that if anyone out there does not like that. Honestly, I feel like any of these are good to read. That one was the one I put there because, one, it's complete. I'm pretty sure it's complete. So you can read that, and you'll actually get the ending and know exactly that how it's supposed to end and what's going to happen there. Last I remember reading, it was a very, very nice scene that had happened. Sorry, still coming up down from my cold. And no then, worries. Yeah, it's yeah. a very good story for sure. Yeah. All of them are.
I personally think that if you want to, you know, like get into a ship, I personally find canon based fics probably the best, because then, you know, I get attached to like the canon version of the characters before I dive into the AUs.
For sure. And also, I mean, sometimes even the AUs are so loyal to the canon stuff that it's like, yep, this is for sure how these characters act and how they are. So, yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely go with canon base, but AU, I think, for Bakudeku is just as good.
So, do you have more canon-based stories?
Yeah, so Do It For Them by Yuhime is technically canon-based because it's them when they're in high school, but it has, like, A-B chapters, so it starts off with them as adults, as pro heroes, and they're in a relationship then, and Izuku has a child from his previous marriage, but she gets blasted into the past, and it goes into the B chapters where they're teenagers and they found their future daughter. And so it's super adorable of them, like, learning how to get along with one another and discovering that in the future, at some point, they're going to get married and have a child together, apparently.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And then Blood Moon is also canon-based. It's, again, in the future. A lot of these stories tend to be in the future because it's the things that most Bakudeku shippers are looking forward to the most. Their growth and where they currently are. Getting together isn't really something we all think should happen just yet, but when they're older, for sure. Yeah, they're going to get together. They're going to be a wonder duo, and then they're going to fuck.
Yeah, that's good to me.
And so Blood Moon is also canon based in the future. I think Love Meme Hate Meme is also, but that one is interesting because it's supposed to be structured like social media. So if you look through it, it's literally just like as if you're looking at different sites. None of the links are actually clickable, like you can't go anywhere on it, but it's so beautifully structured that I had to recommend this. It's only one chapter in out of three, but I was blown away looking at it because I was like, are these actual things from like the internet? But no, it's not an actual thing. It's just based in their world where they are pro heroes and people are talking about them. And again, it's the fandom talking about the shit.
I love stories like that. It's really good.
It's really good. I would move that up to a fic I would recommend for people to get hooked on the ship, because it also talks about kind of like how in real life, Bakudeku shippers are tended to be oppressed by the anti-shippers who are like, no, they would never be together. So it's very similar there, where people are like, what? No, they are never going to be together.
Well, that's good. Yeah, like I said, I love fics like that, that use like social media and... Oh, because it also does the that thing with an outside point of view on a relationship, which is one of my catnips.
Oh, yeah. And also the fans that are, like, starting to piece together right at the end of that chapter. It was so good. I was like, yes. Figure it out.
Cool. Yeah, that's... So I'm definitely going to check that one out just for the... Yeah, the whole, like, setup. That's... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that one's really good too. And then going on to like AU stuff. We got, I actually recommended more than two, but first one's Bluebird. Bluebird, that one is a college AU where Bakugo thinks he's calling his best friend, but he accidentally dials the wrong number. And so he and Midoriya start a phone like friendship, whatever. And eventually they realize they have feelings for each other. That one was really sweet. I liked it. I think it made me cry at one point. So from what I remember, just looking at it again, it's like, yeah, that one was really good.
That's a nice trope, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That I really like those wrong number stories. It's like, how could you mess this up so bad, but so right?
Right, it's fate.
Yeah, obviously. Exactly. And then I didn't actually put anything on my second list. It just says Fantasy AU, literally anything from the Fantasy AU, which is from the popularity poll that Horikoshi, the creator, had made. Bakugo won, so he's like this dragon-born king or whatever. He wears like a cape, no shirt, and has like the number one tattooed on his shoulder because he came in first place. And then we got Deku came in second. He's just an adventurer, regular guy, and all the other characters. And then the anime took it and made it into the ending for season two. And it was beautiful. You can just look that up on YouTube to watch that. And it's a great AU that everyone loves and everyone will, like, read it or like read not read it but like draw pictures for it every now and then. It'll just blow up too for people to like view images of this, like most fan art will be of that AU, and I love the fantasy stuff. I also just love fantasy in general, so the fact that there's a canon version of the fantasy AU is amazing. Kind of rambled there.
No, this enthusiasm is appreciated here.
The next one is Lights, Camera, Hero. It's an alternate universe where Midoriya wants to become a action star in the movies, and his all-time favorite actor for the All Might series, Toshinori, is starting a new series of show called My Hero Academia, and Izuku wants to become the big time next up and coming actor. I couldn't think of what the word was. And English is my first language.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's basically just Izuku becoming a big time actor for his first role, and entering into a relationship with Bakugo, his co-star and on-screen rival.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know when it last updated, but I do know it's still ongoing, so that one is ongoing. And then the last two I recommended, I actually don't. I've never read, so I don't know all the details of them, but a lot of the people I'm in Discord chats with will talk about them. So I do know 2,645 Miles is basically like a United States, like, AU where they're just Americans, and they're going on a cross-country road trip, and some of the characters have, like, southern accents, and it's like, I really, really want to read this, because I want to know how these characters, like, I just want to read it and then think of them speaking with a southern accent. That would be amazing. And so far, from what I understand, it is amazing. It's a well-written story, and it's complete. I want to read it. It's on my list. I probably will start reading it this next weekend, but I recommend it because everyone has recommended it to me.
Yeah.
And the last one I recommended was The Night We Met. This one, I was in the chat with the people that were discussing it as it was being written, and it's completed. It was completed right before the new year. So a lot of people were, like, talking about it. It's a alternate universe where I think Bakugo is immortal, and, yeah, it says it right there in the tags. Immortal Bakugo and reincarnating Midoriya. So they basically are soulmates going through life together, multiple different lives, and it just sounds like it's a heartbreaking story because people keep talking about how much it made them cry. So I'm like, okay, I want to have feels. Give me this story. Yeah. So I look forward to reading that one. I just need to be in a proper headspace so I can cry and feel good about the fact that I'm crying.
Exactly. It doesn't, you know, you can't just do that any old day.
Yeah, for sure. So those are the stories I've recommended. I mean, read anything you can find about Baku Deku, especially if people are, like, There's a Bakugeku fanfic library Tumblr where they recommend basically every story they can possibly find, and people will send them asks like, hey, is there any type of stories like this? And they'll give you a list of anything that matches your description. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, that's very handy.
Yeah, I was...
I only know that from Stucky fandom.
Right, I don't actually... I've never seen it before. So this was the first fandom I saw that created a fanfic library. I was like, what?
That's really cool. It's quite the dedication from the fans.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I was in a Discord chat with the creator who had made it. Like, they had a whole chat for anyone who likes the fanfic library. And I had to leave it because I just kept getting too many notifications for it, in all honesty. I could just mute it, but because I would look at it every now and then, there'd be so many notifications and I just got overwhelmed. So I had to leave, but I might go back to it eventually. But a lot of nice people there, always talking about different fanfics, and it's like, I want to read these.
That sounds like a really nice place to connect with other fans.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The Positivity Network also has a Discord group, and being in that one has been nice because every now and then they'll post something that has recently come up, and it's like, oh, thank you for sharing that with me because I would have missed it doing my day job.
I'm going to be linking to all of these.
Okay.
Definitely. And I'm also going to be linking to the Positivity Network, I think.
All right. Yeah, they are on Tumblr and they're also on Twitter. I can actually pull up their Twitter real quick here. I have a Twitter open at the moment.
Yes. So you said you read pretty much anything for this pairing. Are there authors that you especially like?
So the... three that I did put down is Seeker Kiwi. So Kiwi writes a lot of stuff, typically stays within like one-shot territory, but usually it's smut stories that the stories are being written as. Did the Kinktober thing where every day in October just wrote another chapter to kink like prompt lists, so that was nice. And at the same time, I was doing Kinktober as a Inktober, so I was drawing too. So Kiwi was like, I wrote something like that. Here's something for you. And I'm like, thank you. You're helping me with figuring out how to do this prompt. Brie Chibi is the author of The Lights, Camera, Hero. I've read several of her stories as well, and I didn't recommend all of them, but every single one that I've read from Brie Chibi has made me, like, either crack up laughing or, like, squee with happiness because it's just so great. And then the last one is Lala Z. She writes such great stories. I can't think of any off the top of my head unless I did. Yeah, Blood Moon. Blood Moon was written by Lala Z, and there was a couple other stories that she's written too, but Blood Moon was the one that was my first one of her stories she's written.
Yeah.
That I read.
It made a lasting impression.
So amazing. And I now follow her on Twitter. I finally found her Twitter. And so I get updates to anything that she's doing lately. And it's like, yes, tell me what else you're writing because I want to read it.
You said that there's also a lot of visual fan art.
Yeah.
Fan works.
Yeah. So I linked several different pieces that I just went through Twitter for. So they're more recent stuff, but there's also a lot of stuff that are, like, older that are very popular. And sometimes I'll see, like, them posted for, like, the fifth time in Discord chats. And it's like, yes, everyone has seen it, and it is beautiful, and I am happy you shared it with me again so I can look at it. Just so many great artists. It's mind-blowing looking at their art, and...
yeah.
Being that I'm also an artist, it's like, wow, I can't believe I'm creating content that's similar to what this person is doing. And being able to be placed anywhere near their art is amazing. It's like, yes, I want to be associated with this person because they have amazing talents. And
so they're mostly on Twitter?
No, I just was going through Twitter, but they are all over Tumblr as well. Some people both post to both Twitter and Tumblr. I just happen to go onto Twitter for all these images because I haven't really been on Tumblr lately. Yeah. I have at least one that I found on Tumblr because I happened to go to Tumblr and then saw a picture and I was like, I need to link that.
Yeah. So is the art also mostly manga style?
Yeah, I mean, some people have their own personal style. Oh, I will find you a piece later of this one artist who has a very unique style. It is very gorgeous, and I love it. I will have to find it in a minute, though. But people will do their own twist on it. Other people will just focus on the manga style of the artwork from the original canon. Or they'll do their own twist of the manga style, and it really just depends on the artists themselves. Yeah. I personally have kind of more of a manga mixed with realism because I went to college for art specifically. Mm-hmm. My major was art and a concentration of drawing, and I took so many life drawing classes that when I draw a person's face or features, I kind of can't get away from the realistic style. But because I'm drawing anime characters, their faces will still be anime looking, but everything else looks super realistic, and it's like, what is anatomy? I don't know.
I guess because there's also an anime, there's also like vids and gif sets.
Oh yeah. So the videos that I linked here, the first one is What's in an OTP by Chris P. Natz. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. That video is basically the explanation to the ship itself. If you don't really have the time to talk to somebody like me about this stuff, just watch that video. It's a few minutes long, and he basically explains what the show is, what the relationship is, why people like it, why people don't like it, and just so creative and nice because he's also hilarious. He'll, make jokes throughout it, and it's like, I busted up laughing, and I've seen it shared so many times by various Bakudeku shippers because they're like, if anyone ever asks you why you like Bakudeku, just share this. It's a very good video for explaining the ship and also explaining why people might not like it, but also why people who do like it don't feel that way. The other two are music videos. Can't Sleep Love is specifically an animatic, I can't say that word specifically, but basically somebody drew the pictures, and the imagery isn't totally animated, but it's kind of, and it's to Pentatonix's Can't Sleep Love song. It's one of my favorite songs, and the art style was gorgeous. I loved it, and the story being told in it was aww. So cute, but also kind of sad because it seemed as though he was just dreaming about Izuku the whole time.
Aww.
And then the last one's All Time Low. It's actually an AMV, so somebody took images from the anime and then made it into the music video and told a story with it. I can't quite remember the story of this one, but that person has done multiple different animated music videos for these two, and I picked that one because it was my favorite song of them all.
So there's a lot of creativity in the fandom.
Oh yeah, definitely. Lots of creativity. And then because it's also anime, it's super common for people to cosplay it. I didn't get anything for cosplay here, but I also am not personally into the cosplay stuff. I'll see it and be like, that's so cool. But most of the time I'll just kind of go, oh, that's cosplay, because I don't totally care for it. It makes me kind of sad because it's like, I want to do that, but I don't have time. And I also just don't want to be in pictures. So, but people creating those types of things, people creating merchandise, so people creating dolls or pins or whatever to sell to people. Zines, I can't remember what they're actually pronounced as, but when people create the booklets of multiple creators coming together and then they have merch with it. I'm waiting on my merch for this recent Zine that came out with their stuff. They said recently that they got everything and they're just starting to ship them out. So I'm like, it's coming. My package will be here soon.
Yeah. I love stuff like that. It's such a positive, creative outlet.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Great. Do you have anything else that you want people to see?
Yeah, I also sent you some gift sets. I went on Tumblr and I was looking for them. I could not find some of them that I was trying to find, but I found this person's, and they, like, create the imagery of, like, what happened in the show where, like, the first one I linked to you is basically every instance where Deku ran at Bakugo trying to save him from whatever was harming him. There was three instances of it. The first time from episode 2 when Bakugo was held hostage. The second time, I think it's at the end of season 2. Yeah, it's at the end of season 2. They are in their final exam and fighting against All Might because they need to prove that they're able to work together. And Midoriya was supposed to just leave to get out of the situation because that was part of the, like, test. You either subdue the hero you're fighting against or you get out of there. One of you has to get out of the arena for it. Midoriya was almost out of there, but Bakugo was being held down by All Might and, like, struggling, and Midoriya just ran at it, ran at All Might and punched him to grab Bakugo and take him out of the situation. And then the third instance was when Bakugo got kidnapped, and Midoriya's arms were completely shattered because he had fought someone else and used his quirk beyond his limits. He was still trying to save Bakugo and was running to catch him, and Bakugo was like, "Don't come, Deku," and disappeared with the villains. And in the moment, too, in the anime when that happened, the voice acting was amazing in the Japanese version because Bakugo's voice sounds like he's actually worried about Deku because his arms are completely broken. He's still trying to run at him to save him. And it's very clear that Deku's not going to stop. So he's like, "Don't come. Don't come." Like, "No, stay back." And then later, when Deku thinks back to that moment, because he's reminded that, hey, Bakugo might not want you to save him because of his, like, ego and everything, he recalls that moment, and in the flashback, they play the voice again, but the voice actor is slightly different, and he sounds like he's going, "Don't come, Deku, I don't want you near me."
Oh, okay.
So Deku's memory sounded as though he was, like, thinking, "Oh, Ka-chan might not want me to save him at all because it's me." So, that was heartbreaking in the Japanese version. Yes. They didn't do it in the English version, from what I remember. But it was like, no!
Yeah, that's a nice detail.
Oh yeah, it was a very nice, very tiny detail that I didn't notice the first time, but then I went on to, like, Tumblr when the episode had first aired and people were talking about it. I'm like, I need to go back and watch it. I watched that episode so many times. And then the other gift set was also by the same person. And it was just showing the openings of the anime. So opening one is on the right, where Deku is, like, reaching out to All Might because he wants to be like him. And then it shows the divide between him and Bakugo and how they have that strained relationship. And then on the left, it's opening five, so, like, season three. It's Bakugo now staring at All Might, trying to, like, reach out to him. And then it cuts to him and Deku, but they're standing side by side. And also kind of looks like they're connected into All Might's shadow, which is why people are like, oh yeah, they're going to be All Might's successor together.
I like parallels like that.
It's so great. And then also the openings of the anime when this season... Season 3, when Bakugo did get kidnapped, the first opening for it, Bakugo, like, was not in this opening at all, except for one instance, because of the fact that he got kidnapped. But it happened after a scene of Midoriya, like, walking, like, with his head down. He looks like he's dejected, and it's snowing around him. And then it, like, cuts to, like, this fade-in of Bakugo, like, turning towards the camera. And the reason that was so significant is because typically in Japan and anime, like, visuals, they will show snow as, like, the loss of a loved one or something along those lines. Like, there's so many visuals with Bakudeku in the anime and, like, different imagery of them that it's like, are you sure they're not in love with each other? because, like, the blooming of the sakura tree behind them sometimes as well, like, that can also be attributed to lover stuff, but at the same time, it was when they were being shown with their strained relationship between them. Sakura trees blooming in Japan also symbolize, like, the turning of something new, like springtime. That's why everything starts in April, because it's spring and the flowers are blooming, the sakura trees are coming. It's the start of something new. Something new is happening between them because, oh, they're reaching the next step of their life. Ha! Great job, anime.
Yeah. Yeah, the next step of their relationship.
Definitely. Yeah. It has all those, like, key moments, and there's so many other instances, like, in the opening sequences or official artwork that shows them together with something, and somebody will be like, hey, did you guys know in Japan this means that? And I'm like,
I love how enthusiastic you are and how, you know all these little details.
It makes me so happy whenever I see those things. It's like, oh, really? Does that really mean that? Because that makes me so happy. And I would die if they actually did get together, but they most likely wouldn't, just because it is a shonen anime.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would die happy anyway if they just became the hero duo that I know they will be.
Yes. I'm really thankful that you shared all of this with us.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad I got to come here. Thank you so much for having me.
And I think with the next interview, we're going to stay in the manga anime territory?
Right? We're staying with the manga anime, and it's going to the anime that I actually met Allie through, Haikyuu, which is the volleyball anime.
Yes.
You're going to be actually talking to my significant other, Honey is their name, Hijacked Honeybees on Tumblr. So the ship is Kiyohaba, which is Kiyotani and Yahaba, and they're one of the side characters from the volleyball anime.
Okay, that's so I'm looking forward to that then. If people want to find you and your stuff, where can they do that?
Yeah, so Twitter and Tumblr, I'm Mellow Doodles. On AO3, I'm Mellow Writes.
Great. Oh, thanks again for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me again.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
This wraps up the sixth episode of the Shipping Podcast, the longest and giggliest to date. I hope you've enjoyed the interview and can't wait to dive into the links provided in the show notes, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's spelled fandomish.net. In the next episode, we remain in the manga anime category with Gutani Kentaro and Yahaba Shigeru from Haikyuu, aka Kyuhaba. The interview with Hijacked Honeybees will be released on February 1st, 2019, earlier for Patreon supporters. You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_Cast, or you could email the podcast under shippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast on all major podcasting platforms. A full list can be found on shippingcast.fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a patron on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics, and that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade, or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamwidth, and on shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon as Shirazade at fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship. Oh, for fuck's sake, I can't talk. English difficult. Oh, God.